mother of
mercy. I just stubbed my toe, Will. Gosh.
That sucks, but don't it worry. Hurts. It's just transitory.
What does that even mean, it's just transitory? It really hurts.
It doesn't last forever.
It doesn't feel transitory. It feels like it hurts.
I'm hearing myself back.
Yeah, well, whatever.
No,
it hurts. That's transitory too.
That's transitory too. But listen, it's actually a good thing.
How is it a good thing?
Stubbed toe.
Why? How? Explain that to me.
Makes you tougher.
I don't feel tougher, Will. I feel weak.
I agree.
Who are we to blame for this?
Putin.
Fair enough.
It's Putin's fault.
That's right.
We're having technical issues.
Yeah.
And we are having some issues discovering what we wanted to do.
We just have issues.
So just take that skit, not our best, but take it how you can.
Okay? Wingardium Transphobiosa. We made up some funny woke spells or whatever, but we couldn't figure out how to make it work into a skit, so sorry.
Yeah, before we start this show every day, about 5 minutes before, just to give you a view of our preparation here, we start thinking about what the skit is that's going to be opening this show.
Yes.
So when you guys get good ones, just know that that's a wonder of, I don't know, a wonder of creation. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll sit there and we'll be like, opening?
Yeah.
That's a word.
Exactly.
And then we all think about it.
Exactly. And the one yesterday was pretty good compared to this one. So, you know, sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss.
It's never a miss, but sometimes they hit harder.
Right. And that's why you guys watch us, you know? You don't know. Life's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. Now, we have many stories to talk about today. We're going to talk about J.K. Rowling just throwing flames on Twitter this morning. I'm telling you. Zuby Music and the talk about inflation, as well as, you know, how they're trying to convince you that inflation is a good thing, and then they blame it on Russia and Ukraine. It's great. Tennis star Novak Djokovic is not going to be entering the United States to play. And this is, I think, his third country in this drama between him and being able to play tennis. The poor man just wants to use his racket to hit a tennis ball.
Free my man Novak.
And he can't. And then we're going to do a little bit of Q&A at the end of today's show. So stick around for that. Drop your questions down below in the chat and we will answer your questions on this most fantastic Thursday. Now, let's get into the J.K. Rowling drama. So again, J.K. is taking leftist heat all over Twitter for speaking out for women's rights. So in Scotland, they're trying to pass this gender affirmation bill, which essentially makes it easier for people who identify as trans to go through the transition of changing their pronouns, their license, and being formally recognized by the country as whatever gender they choose. Now, J.K. Rowling doesn't have a problem with this because she has a problem with trans people. She has a problem with this because she's recognized that there's an issue with particularly predatory men taking advantage of laws like this. And, you know, committing an act of sexual assault and going, whoa, whoa, I'm a female. I know the penis might have, you know, misled you a little bit, and the beard and the large muscles and the wingspan and the chromosomes might have confused you. But don't worry, guys, I'm a female. So she came out on Twitter and said, you know, this is unacceptable. She called out the legislator who put forth this bill. And of course, the leftist hopped on her like nobody's business. How dare you, you transphobe. I loved Harry Potter. You were so beloved by the U.S. population and by the world. And how dare you say something so ridiculous. And one person who put his name in the hat on this is Vaush. We know him as a woke leftist streamer who's, you know, pretty big on Twitch and YouTube, things like that, for, you know, saying garbage. And he came out against J.K. Rowling and said this. All J.K. Rowling had to do was shut the F up, and she could have been almost uncritically beloved for like a century. Women be quieter and start apologizing challenge. And J.K. saw this and responded by saying, what you and your ilk fail to appreciate is how tediously familiar I find your tactics. I had a violent ex-husband who used to tell me life would be great if only I'd comply, but you're making the same mistake he did. Women like me cannot be bullied out of resistance. Checkmate.
She's dealt with this a lot. She's had to deal with a lot of people coming after her for all these sorts of things. And this thing by Vaush? He has a very important thing that he said here. Where he said all J.K. Rowling had to do was shut the F up and she could have been almost uncritically beloved. And that's a very important thing to say, because mm-hmm. it is so critical about the political debates that we have in this country now, mm-hmm. where it is conservatives and people who know the truth who say, I know what's true, but I'm not going to say it because I care more about my reputation. Yep. It's like Republicans in Congress who care more about what NBC and the New York Times and CNN say about them than what they actually do for their constituents. It's a huge problem. And he calls it out perfectly when he's, I mean, obviously in a way that's, you know, trying to belittle what she's doing and what she's saying. But it's critical to understand that so many people are willing to sacrifice saying something because they want to be beloved. Yeah. But when you sacrifice things to be beloved, you're really not speaking what you should be speaking. You are supposed to be persecuted if you are speaking the truth.
Yeah, this tweet fully encompasses what it's like to be susceptible to groupthink and hive mind. He perfectly put it in to characters here by saying she could have been loved by everybody. If only she just shut her mouth. If only she just wouldn't speak truth. If only she wouldn't advocate for the women who are going to be harmed by this type of legislation. If only, you know, she just stood there silently while women get sexually assaulted by predatory men. She could have been beloved by the whole country, by the whole world at large. It's just amazing, and it just shows cowardice. That's right. What it is. It's cowardice. She chose to speak up and use her platform, a platform that she created with her works of art, to say, no, I'm going to advocate for women. And even is taking quite a leftist stance on it by saying, you know, this is what feminism looks like. This is what female empowerment looks like, is me standing up and saying these things. And I think it's fantastic. And people like Vaush, you know, just do this for the sake of doing it.
Right. But what Vaush fails to understand as well is when he says uncritically beloved. Mm-hmm. Before all this stuff happened, I didn't love J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Harry Potter sucks. You know, I don't really like Harry Potter. I think it's not that great, in my opinion. Listen, but now that I'm seeing what J.K. Rowling is saying, I actually love and respect J.K. Rowling and what she is saying. I think that is fantastic. And so I actually, J.K. Rowling has now made a new fan, mm-hmm. you know? So talking about, you know, uncritically beloved, you're always going to lose people for standing up for what you believe in, but then people who understand and value truth above other things are going to be the people who follow you. It might be less people. Well, it's actually definitely going to be less people if you're speaking up for truth, because less people will follow you when you speak truth. That's just how it is. Most people will follow the lies, but you will gain new people. So even people who didn't like you before, once you turn around and start speaking truth and you're genuine, you will gain a lot of people. People like me, who thought nothing about J.K. Rowling whatsoever, except that I didn't really like the movies or the books really that much. And now I'm a huge fan. I respect anyone who's going to, you know, stand up for what they believe in. Even my enemies, when they speak and don't back down, I'll do the same thing here with J.K. Rowling.
Let's see if he, I went to go look at Vaush's Twitter to see if he responded. His response to her saying that was, complaining about how victimized you are when you're a billionaire being mocked for opposing civil rights is the height of cry bullying.
Wasn't Vaush the one, his dad was like wealthy San Francisco guy.
I'm not sure.
What was that, Taylor? You sent me that like months ago. You remember this? It was a segment of that book that was talking about him and came from this very elitist background and everything.
I can't remember, yeah. But
I don't want to speak out of turn, but.
I'm also watching the chat, so.
Right. Someone look into it. Someone in chat probably knows. It was a whole Twitter thread about it, and it was going viral and stuff. So somebody check that out. But yeah, it's always ironic that the people who have a certain degree of leftist privilege like to call out people like J.K. Rowling when they speak the truth. It's a lot easier for them to do that because you are on the right moral side of what people are supposed to believe. Yep. You are the one with the privilege. And that's kind of the ironic thing about it, is that they call people out for their privilege like J.K. Rowling, when J.K. Rowling has literally put everything on the line to speak the truth, where he doesn't, or any of these people in her Twitter comments or any of these people, they can lie and they are still on the right side of the moral debate. So the privilege is the leftist privilege. You have privilege for being a leftist in our society. You do not have a privilege for speaking the truth.
Right. And luckily people are coming out because J.K. Rowling is such a significant figure, and they're waking up to what is actual truth and what is objective. And she's bringing light to that. So I commend her for that. To say that she's victimizing herself, I don't think she's victimizing herself at all. If anything, she stood strong in her beliefs and battled the people who come forth and come at her. I believe at some point she was doxxed and her house was doxxed, and people mm-hmm. showed up to her own house where her family lives to protest her in Scotland, and yet she still remains in the fight and she remains resisting the people who try to silence her. And she's not truly, I mean, she is advocating for herself and the thing that she's the things that she's doing, but she's really advocating for other women who you are victimizing with your ideology. This is not a civil rights argument. This is an argument of blind affirmation of people who choose to call themselves something when they are not in fact that. And again, if you are somebody who is on the left who looks at these movements and goes, you know, but I support trans people, but I support trans people. Okay, how many women is it worth? You know, how many women getting sexually assaulted is your movement worth? Is me affirming your pronouns worth? Is me changing your government identification worth? Because we have states right now like California that allow men who are in prison to say I'm a female and go over to a female prison and they go and violate those women. So is that worth your ideology? Is that worth being blindly affirmed? Is that worth me changing your government ID? I would venture to say no, but that's something that now that you're aware of, you have to think about. And Vaush is aware of that. He's aware because he's looking at the arguments that J.K. Rowling is making and that all these people who are coming out against this bill in Scotland are making. So to be aware of how this is affecting young women and children, young girls, and to turn a blind eye to it and call the people who are trying to fight this bigots is just asinine.
Well, that's their line of defense. I mean, that's how they defeat people. But I want to go back because you said something that was really great. You talked about the groupthink, and it's him coming and saying the quiet part out loud. I really think that is so important because, you know, think about someone like Trump. I mean, Trump, you go to New York, you ask someone about Trump, everybody loved Trump, right? Everybody loved him. He had Celebrity Apprentice. I mean, everybody thought he was the best. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he comes out and starts speaking his mind and saying things that are different than what everyone else is saying, he's now hated by a lot of people.
But, right.
And that's exactly like it encompasses everything in this tweet, that they are saying the quiet part out loud, that we are fine with letting you have your little opinions and not having to say anything. But as soon as you speak out, we will hate you and we will shame you for it.
Yep.
It is group mentality, cancel culture, collective versus the individual, sheep versus the wolf. I mean, it is said the quiet part out loud. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. But leftism works as a collective where conservatism works on an individual basis.
God forbid you think anything differently from what the majority of people think in this country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God forbid.
Right.
Because look what happens to you. And imagine if she didn't have a platform like this. This would just be some nameless person who's just getting attacked belligerently on the internet with nothing to back it, with nobody to come and support her. But luckily, she does. She has an audience and she has people who are coming to support her. And she has people who she's converted to being her fans with this sort of stuff. And luckily, it's people like this who are waking up others to the issues, because I think a lot of people are walking around not even thinking about these things and how they affect people. And they see a bill like this that comes past them. And they go, oh, sure, yeah. Let's let people identify however they want. Because I think most people would think that. They'd think if you're a grown adult and you want to identify some way or you want to change yourself, by all means, do that. Sure. But they don't think about the negative repercussions that come along with it. So I love anybody who's going to bring light to the silent victims of this sort of ideology. And J.K. Rowling is one of those people. So great for her.
Abracadabra, alakatrans. It's good, huh?
That was great.
I was saving it.
That was, yeah. 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 I'm impressed.
Thank
honestly,
you.
I think we could just end the show right there.
Yeah. Guys, make sure you like this video, subscribe, follow us on Spotify.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that is good advice regardless. Guys, you should like, subscribe, click the notification bell on this channel. We've been getting hella subscribers over the past few days, so
yeah.
We must be doing something right. Hella subscribers.
How many subscribers?
Hella's looking around, what? We're at like 650 today? That's
yeah,
hella.
No, I think we got like over 700 subs on the new channel today,
yeah.
And like over almost 3,000 in the last week. So keep them coming.
That's what hella means, Will.
Wow.
If I had
learn
to
something
it.
New every day.
You learn something new every day.
Thout channel hast growneth.
Two new interviews uploaded today, by the way, on the Will and Amla channel exclusively. So go there too. Check those out.
We're giving you guys wanted clips. We're giving you clips.
Right.
We're giving
you
good stuff.
For.
Yes, exactly. Now, speaking of learning something new every day, you want to know what I learned today? Inflation
true.
Is good.
That's
learned
true.
That inflation is great for the U.S. economy, all economies, really. And I now wish that we can just inflate the economy as much as possible.
Right, like a big balloon. Who doesn't
yes.
like a big balloon?
I want my gas to be, you know what? Stephen Colbert said 15. I raise you 20. I
right.
want $20 per gallon of gas.
Right.
That's what I want. What about you guys? What are you thinking? I'm thinking $6 for a gallon of milk.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that there's no bio lab in Ukraine and it's all just nonsense.
Oh.
Just like inflation is good, there's no bio lab in Ukraine. I promise you, okay? This is what they tell us. It's all
it
true.
Was,
I promise.
Big statement there, William.
Mm-hmm. Telling you.
Yeah, here's this headline out of The Intercept that says, inflation is good for you. Don't panic over milk prices. Inflation is bad for the 1%, but helps out almost everyone. Another one from CNN Business. Why inflation can actually be good for everyday Americans and bad for rich people.
It's literally the opposite.
It's literally the opposite.
It's the opposite. When you have inflation in an economy, then you are going to have investors investing because the price of things goes up. If you have a piece of land that's worth, I don't know, $100, just use easy numbers, and someone invests in that land, $100, then you have inflation. The price of that land goes up, which means that's why people are going to invest in it. Rich people have money to invest in things. Whereas the person who now has to provide the horses for that land or the wood for that land, their prices are going up and they now have to pay more. Are you serious? How can you be so stupid? I mean, it's just economically illiterate.
Yep. But good is bad and bad is good and black is white.
Right.
So that's where we're at right now. Yeah, it's crazy. And these same people are the ones who are saying, oh, well, also you need to raise your wages. Like, also we got to raise the wages. I know inflation's going up. I know your products are costing more and that you can't really afford to have your businesses anymore. But you're committing wage theft with your workers. It's just such, it's truly getting to the point where it feels insidious. Like, how could somebody possibly, this woman's name is Allison Morrow. How did Allison Morrow sit at her desk at CNN Business and write the headline, why inflation can actually be good for everyday Americans and bad for rich people?
Because she's probably some trust fund kid who went to some Ivy League school, got some journalism degree, now works at CNN in San Francisco or Atlanta, wherever it is, you know, in some urban city. That's how these journalists are. They sleep at night. Jesse Kelly had a great tweet today about communism, and people said, you know, how could people who are communists ever do all these horrible things to people? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you read headlines and you see how people lie and how they're fine with you being their sacrificial lamb, and it's like, okay, I think I do kind of get how people could do these horrible evil things. Mm-hmm. I can, because people lie out of their teeth so easily. They're totally fine with lying to you.
Yep.
And they sleep like babies at night. There's no way that I doubt the people at CNN are like tossing and turning with moral dilemmas while they're going to bed.
Sure.
These people love what they're doing because they accrue wealth and power by doing it. So the way of the wicked prospers.
And they get told that it's the right thing to do, that even though a lie feels wrong, don't worry, because what you're lying for is so much greater than you'll ever know and than you'll ever see. And, you know, specifically the CNN article reminds me of the Project Veritas leak that they did on them, where they, you know, got this guy to go on a date with a Project Veritas operative, and he talks about all the lies that CNN was putting out so blatantly. But his view of that is, I am lying in the short term so that in the long term we achieve our goals, and our goals are for the greater good of people, the greater good of people. And they are so comfortable with it. And you go into the organizations like this, I'm sure a lot of people go into journalism and they say, you know, I'm taking on this career because I want to tell the truth. I want to change the world. I want to do something that brings light to a situation. And then they go and get a job at CNN or MSNBC or ABC, and then their soul just gets slowly whittled away at while they're told to lie about certain things and paint things in a certain light and tell poor people how great inflation is for them. Right. I'm sure that's what happens.
Yeah, and lying by omission is still lying.
Yep.
If you know what the truth is and you're lying by omission, that is still just as bad. And, you know, you look at someone who says that I'm fine with committing lies to have a greater good in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, someone just says, I'm fine with ethnically cleansing this group of people so that we can have this perfect utopia in the future. Right. And that's the same line of thinking. That's why I was going back to talking about the communists and these types of things. It's like, oh, I'm fine with committing these evil acts and terrible things in the present so that we can get to this utopia type of landscape that we have. But when you commit evil acts in the name of good, you are committing evil. And you cannot have good if you had to commit evil acts to get there. It just can't happen. You always have to be living with the truth and living with the good. And once you do that, then you can make a better society. You can make things better. But you can't commit evil to create good. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, it's such an unfortunate thing to have to read this. And it's only going to get worse. Like, inflation is only going to go up.
Yeah. And if it was just gas prices, like, if it was just gas prices at the pump and people had to pay, I don't know, $20 more a month or something like that, there's not so much need for concern. But when it comes to this, this is affecting your food supply. This affects delivery of goods to you. This affects your energy and electricity for your house. This affects things at the pump. This affects everything, right? It affects your rent. Every single thing is getting more expensive. Every single thing. So it's across the board. And if your wages aren't going up at the same time that is inflation is going up, our country's in for a rough time, especially when they raise the interest rates on the Fed. Well, then we'll really be in it.
Here's a note from somebody watching right now. It says, Allison Morrow, the person who wrote this article, actually quit CNN after being forced to write articles like this. So I'm excited to hear that. I hope that is true. We can maybe fact check that throughout the show. Yeah, I realize this article is from December of last year, but it's not too far away. And we've seen countless attempts to characterize inflation as a good thing. That's the narrative that they're trying to sell you on. And once you're not sold on that narrative, they'll move on to something else. Like the article that we were talking about on the show yesterday from Washington Post saying, you know, the supply chain crisis and inflation, you need to lower your expectations. As Americans, you've just gotten so used to living in abundance and dignity and walking into grocery stores and simply having all these options. And why should that be the reality for you? Why are your expectations set so high? You should account for things like this and just allow it to affect you. Allow the elites to go, I'm comfortable with me making this sacrifice on your behalf. I'm comfortable with you being in pain so that I can prosper. That's what's happening.
Right. And back to the inflation thing. I mean, these people who are in charge, it's such an easy fix. I mean, all of this stuff, all of it, we could have never have been in this mess mm-hmm. and we could fix it, but they're not going to fix it. They're going to spend $1.5 trillion right now with it's like a drop in the bucket, basically, to these people. They're going to give, you know, hundreds of million dollars to make Pakistanis transsexual. Like all these different programs that they have funding for, I urge all of you guys to go and read what these things are actually presenting. And these don't matter to them. And then it's like, oh, you don't want to send gay education to Afghanistan? What would you have done in World War II? Right? You say we shouldn't fight in World War II. This is what people say to me when I say these kind of things, like we shouldn't support these other things around the world. They say, oh, you wouldn't go fight in World War II? That's the level of argumentation that these people have, and they try to do it on a basis of shame. But you just have to laugh at some of these people because they're not serious people. Many of our enemies are very serious people who know what they are doing, who understand the game that they're playing. Yet many of our enemies are very stupid and laughable people who should not be taken seriously whatsoever. And you have to be able to differentiate those two types of enemies. And once you do that, then you know how to handle each.
And let's play this news clip here from, I believe, CNBC about inflation and how the narrative is going to shift. Here we go.
And, of course, this inflation news is going to be tough for the administration. Nothing, Joe, nothing has been more politicized than inflation. Just let's hearken back to all the things we've been through. First, it was transitory. Then inflation is good. Then we went to corporate greed. Now we're at Putin. And of course, this
oh my God, the guy's just laying out all this stuff. I mean, yeah, look at the same thing with COVID. First, it was 2 weeks and then it was months mm-hmm. and then it was a year. And then it was 2 years. And then it's, you know, we're going to try to let things up because I know you guys are getting tired of it. But who knows whether or not it's going to come back and when it's going to come back and what we're going to do. Yeah, they will always keep you hanging on there for as long as they possibly can. And they will paint everything in the most positive light possible. And they will scapegoat other people and other situations for the issues that they've created.
Oh, it's the same thing now that's just happening with these new bioweapon labs that are in Ukraine that they are saying. First, they came out and said, hey, there aren't any bioweapon labs in Ukraine. You have nothing to worry about. This is Russian misinformation. OK, there are no bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Then the Secretary of State, when questioned by Marco Rubio, says, OK, there are things in Ukraine and we should be really worried about it. Then the State Department comes out and says, actually, no, there aren't any. And then they come out again and they say, well, actually, they're biodefense labs. So they're not bioweapon labs. It's like they're just liars. That's all they are. They only know how to lie. You don't hear these people tell the truth ever. Right. When was the last time you heard someone actually come out and say what's actually real? Why does everyone feel so confused? Because every single thing that you hear from these people is a lie. All they do is lie and lie and lie. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust anything I hear from the United States government, basically, from many of these people. I don't trust anything from the mainstream legacy media. It's just none of it.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro says this all the time. Like, in regard, it's the same formula every time. In regard to critical race theory being taught at schools, they're like, it's not being taught at schools. And then it's like, okay, it is being taught at schools, but also that's a good thing. And that's they follow that formula every time. It's like, this isn't happening, but it is. But then the truth gets out and it is happening. And then it's like, okay, it is happening, but it's a good thing.
Right. It's always someone else to blame. There's always someone else to blame. There's always a new lie to be had. There's always some way for them to snake their way and finagle out of whatever situation that they got themselves in, because they can just continue to lie and lie and lie and have endless drones of zombies just continuing to just read it up and regurgitate it. I mean, you hear people. It's like, you know, all the stuff about what happened with the CIA and MKUltra and all sorts of crazy stuff the U.S. government has done. And then you have people who come and you're arguing about this biodefense stuff, and they use the government's word as, oh, this is the truth. Like, that's their argument against anything else that is actually what's happening. It's just craziness that people are still so on board with this administration, with just the level of lies that we're seeing. It just blows my mind. It really does blow my mind to see it.
Yep. And it's the people who used to be so anti-establishment and so anti-government as far as sourcing and skepticism who are the ones who are pushing this now and fighting tooth and nail for you to just bow down to everything that they say. It's unbelievable.
Right. The left, we used to be, if you guys look back at the left used to be, we are anti-war and pro little guy. Now they're, let's go nuke someone. Yeah. And we love huge, giant corporations.
Yep.
Like now I have to be the one to say, hey, maybe we should not let these corporations get as powerful as they are, or maybe we should de-escalate this situation. You know, it's always been that old type of saying of like, Republicans, I want to just go to war, these war hawks. And that's true about some of them still. But, you know, it's changing. The landscape of politics is changing. And the people who were supposed to represent the little guy, they don't represent the little guy anymore. They don't represent the truck driver in Idaho or the farmer in Mexico or farmer in California, whatever. They don't represent me.
Yeah, we just watched Joanne Reed on the show yesterday talk about, well, where are the corporations when it comes to Yemen and Syria? Where are the corporations? Corporation, corporation, corporation. You're just like a corporate shill at this point. Come on.
They are.
You kidding me? Your beacon for getting things done and seeing a fruitful society is whether or not corporations are involved in foreign conflict.
No.
Just unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable shift from what I had always thought was actual leftism. Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
No. We literally have Larry Fink and BlackRock own 10% of the world's entire economy. Take that into consideration. The entire U.S. GDP is $20 trillion. This company, BlackRock, owns $10 trillion in assets and owns 10% of the entire world economy, essentially. With everything they have their hands in. You can go, this is all public. You can go and look at any corporation and find out who's one of the main people in it. You'll probably find BlackRock or Vanguard, which BlackRock owns Vanguard, basically. It's and we're having these arguments about, you know, nonsense. Just hearing lies. It's like, what are we talking about, man?
Can't wait till it's 2030 and we own nothing. And we're so happy.
So happy.
Renting out my family home from BlackRock. I can't wait.
From my Amazon, BlackRock, Walmart, Vanguard,
Coca-Cola, yeah.
Pod. I can't wait to be happy. When does the happiness come?
Right.
Klaus Schwab, Larry Fink, when does it come? I'm waiting for the happiness.
It comes as soon as you give them all your resources. All of them.
All of your resources must be given to me.
We will take care of this.
We will take care of this.
There's lots of turmoil around. Just talk to me. I can fix this for you.
If you guys don't know, Klaus Schwab is European.
Yeah.
He's German. Right?
He's German. Yeah,
doing this accent for fun.
Yeah, no, it's not just for fun. You can look him up. He just looks like a movie villain, and he has that accent.
It's like the dude from James Bond. What's his name? Number One?
No, I've not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I'm unfamiliar.
Seen James Bond?
Seen Austin Powers, but Number Two.
No, the guy in James Bond in the original Sean Connery one.
Tragic.
Yeah. Haven't seen it.
Oh.
Sorry, Will. Your reference is not landing. But
you guys are young.
I get it. Now let's move on to a little bit of COVID news, even though, you know, all of this is tied together to
who's ready for more lies?
Yeah, who's ready for more lies? Living it up. Lying live. Here we go. Tennis star Novak Djokovic is unable to travel to the U.S. for events at Indian Wells in Miami because he's unvaccinated. This is what we had. He had the struggle in Australia, being unable to go and play the Australian Open. He had the struggles in France, unable to play the French Open, I believe. And now he will not be able to enter the United States. And he's still standing firm in his beliefs. So shout out to Novak. Third time we're talking about this man.
Best guy. And which is crazy because I'm pretty sure that France has eased restrictions so that people who are unvaccinated are going to be able to enter the country. So he missed the boat on that one, basically. Now, I'm very passionate about this. The international vaccine mandate for people traveling to the United States if you are not a United States citizen. I am very involved in this for personal reasons. And I think it's all going to go away soon, and it's basically, I can only imagine that these tournaments are going to finish, and then they're going to take them away, and it's going to play out exactly like that. They'll do it when it won't be a media fuss about it. That's what I would have to assume.
Yeah, you would hope. I think they're trying to just slowly remove these things while being underneath the radar and giving it very little coverage, so they're just like, look, the world's back to normal.
Right.
And also, bat soup. Right. Remember that one?
Well, you're no longer going to need to have a vaccine pass to come to the United States. You're going to need to have that you support Ukraine. And then if you support Ukraine, then you can come to the United States.
Right,
but until
if
you don't do that, then, you know.
Yeah. And right after that, upload all of your information to the U.S. digital wallet before entering the country.
Right. Yeah. I thank God for Novak Djokovic bringing this to light and talking so much about it. Because, again, it's very personal to me. It's very important to me. And I just hope that it gets changed soon. I hope that it gets changed soon. I think it will. But it takes people continuing to stand against it and stand up and not cower to these people. You know, especially with everything we know now. Everything we know now about the vaccine and the rate of infection and everything. The amount of spike, all of it. I mean, this should all be ended immediately.
Yeah, the lie has crumbled, guys. It's not standing anymore. So what are we doing? This next story, speaking of what are we doing, the TSA decides to extend the COVID mask mandate for yet another month. I believe this is their third extension on the mandate of wearing a mask on planes. One of the safest places to be. Outside of your house, let alone just traveling. We did just talk about this, how planes and their HEPA filters clean the air. So there's virtually no risk of COVID transmission. And if anything, it's the safest place to be when it comes to COVID transmission. Yet they're still holding out on their mask mandate for another month now.
Mm-hmm. I go to Europe. And to go to Europe and to come back to the United States, I have to get a negative COVID test before I come. So I have tested negative for COVID, yet I still have to wear a mask.
Mm.
And also, people who are negative for COVID, you have to test negative for any of these flights. You still have to have a vaccine to go and travel to one of these places, even if you tested negative for the virus.
Or if you have natural immunity.
Or if you have
the airplane's clean.
In the European Union, they do have a green pass. So it's kind of, you can do like a recovery pass. So if you have recovered, you have that up for about 3 months in Europe for you to be able to travel around to different places without a test. But you can't travel internationally, only within the European Union. But regardless, it's still just craziness. It's nuts, you know. For me to get into Europe, you know, I got this work permit because I was going and working in Europe, so I was able to get an exemption. But, you know, most people don't have these types of resources and things to make that happen. It's just nuts. It's wild. I hate it.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's just, at the outset of all this, I could have never imagined we would still be talking about this now at this time. Never would have imagined it.
Well, and even they teased us with, like, they started to acknowledge that, you know, I mean, California's finally just suspended its vax mandate to go to restaurants, and mask mandates are being lifted all over the country.
Did LA County do that?
Yeah. So
do they vote on it?
I don't know, but you can go anywhere now without stuff.
I just went regardless.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
You can go back to Chipotle now.
No.
Done.
Yeah. Over it.
Get you a trans burrito.
I would love a trans burrito. And now of pollo asada at Chipotle. It's a new thing. I got an email about it.
I don't know what that even means.
It means chicken asada.
Was that just what?
It's a way.
What does a soda mean, Will?
What is a soda? That's what I'm saying. Well, I don't know what a soda means.
You know.
I know the polio part.
A soda means roasted.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
According
know that.
According to Taylor. That's what I was going to say. Taylor, I was just about to say
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I know it, but you say it first.
Yeah. Poloacida is this great yeah. thing at Chipotle. Everyone should get it.
Oh, goodness gracious. Speaking of the narrative changes, the New York Times put out this opinion piece called "We Will Forget Much of the Pandemic, and That's a Good Thing," stating that as a society, one of the most beneficial things we can do to move forward in a healthy way will be to resume safe socializing. Several studies have shown that social isolation exacerbates the negative effect of trauma. Really?
Breaking. No one's been saying that for the last 2 years.
Several studies show that? Oh,
several
my God.
Studies show that we did some bad stuff, and you should just forget about it, because that's good for
right.
your brain.
This next sentence. Because this pandemic required us to socially isolate, we couldn't make use of the most psychologically beneficial coping mechanism, gathering together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no Sherlock.
Yeah, no, if you go down and read more in the article, they have all this stuff about like Alzheimer's disease and forgetting things psychologically.
PTSD.
And they try and get all, PTSD. They try and get all sciency about it and forgetting things and how great it is and all this sort of stuff. It's very strange the way that they try and justify this and they talk about it. I recommend you go read it. It's an opinion piece on the New York Times. But the crux of the argument is that they want you to forget about all these things. And we don't forget. Remember these people's names, remember their faces, remember what they did to you. And the next time that they try and do something to us like this, you don't forget. You tell everyone else, you say you can't forget. That's why it was my whole thing when this Ukraine stuff was first happening and I was standing kind of alone in this saying, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I should trust CNN when they say this is happening in Ukraine or, you know, trust the State Department when they're saying this is happening in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people came after me and said, what? Well, this is totally happening. Everything's real. Everything's legit. And then things turned out to not be legit. And it's like, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson with right. COVID. I'm not forgetting. Did you guys forget so easily already? Don't forget. Don't forget any of this stuff and what they have done. Use the mistakes that they made. Use the horrible things that they did and use them to your advantage to be a strong person who learns from all of the things that they have done to you. Don't right. let them make the same choices and edicts again.
All right. Now we've been gathering questions throughout the duration of this live, and I think we're going to go through some of them. Taylor, have you gathered some? Or
I've got a handful.
You've got a handful? Okay. Let's get into it.
Okay. Well, this one caught my attention. We had the taco folks on the other day talking about what they're doing to address the drug crisis. Mm-hmm. And someone said, you guys disagree with clean crack pipes and needles, the government supplying them to mm-hmm. drug addicts. But Amala had an interview with people giving away fentanyl test kits to addicts. Make that make sense.
Well, let's make that make sense really, really quickly. So these are two girls on the
this
USC.
Is from Betty White, by the way.
Hello, Betty White. Rest in peace, but I guess you have come back to speak to me about
this. It was such an unspeakable thing. She had to come back
yeah.
from the grave.
Rolling in her
so
grave.
So unspeakable, yeah. Betty White had to come back. Let's talk about this. Yeah, so we had some two girls who are neuroscience majors from USC come on who developed an organization on their campus that supplies fentanyl test kits and not only that, but drug information for students there. USC was experiencing upwards of, I believe, 10 deaths on campus per year of overdosing, and the girls have stopped that with their organization. And let's go ahead and point out the obvious difference between these two things is that my tax dollars are not involved. So my tax dollars are not going towards giving these guys fentanyl test kits that can be used for a multitude of drugs on campuses. Even just regular weed that you smoke can have fentanyl in it and nearly kill you if you do not have naloxone or Narcan, and in some cases can kill you even if you do have those life-saving drugs. So I think there's a big difference between two girls who've developed a nonprofit organization that has now saved the lives of people on their campus versus, you know, the government giving people clean crack pipes so they can...
Yeah, I don't really even get the how those two are connected whatsoever.
Essentially, they're saying you're advocating for these girls who are trying to get people to use drugs in a safer manner, yet you don't advocate for this administration giving people crack pipes to
these
use drugs safer.
These girls aren't the police. They're not the police. And everybody knows that people are probably in college going to do drugs. These girls are concerned university students
yep.
who see what's happening and want to help in a nonprofit. Versus the government. There's a reason why the phrase good enough for government work is a phrase. because the government sucks at everything. That's,
And to make the clear distinction that you are not paying for it is a massive distinction in those two things. They've organized a charity that they fund with donations to give these students fentanyl test kits. It's not your tax dollars that you did not agree to being sent to people doing crack on the streets in California.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really even understand how they're really comparable, to be honest. I guess I get it, but it's not a very
comparable question. To test whether something is present that that is a drug is not the same thing as giving you something that facilitates you using that drug.
Yes.
Right.
There's many, very clear distinctions.
Yeah.
Okay. Ohio Gem asks, why is Prager ignoring the People's Convoy? I don't think we are. We will.
Well, two things. One, we aren't.
Didn't we interview someone?
We interviewed one of the organizers from the People's Convoy. So we put them on the show. This was, a week ago, week and a half ago that we had Laura on. She was a lawyer who's working with the People's Convoy. So yeah, we had her on. Secondly, I think that the People's Convoy is getting less attention than the Canadian Convoy because in America, we've seen a lot of the mandates and things started to drop. And so a lot of people just, for some reason, just aren't as interested in covering what the People's Convoy is doing because so many of the mandates seem to be dropping. So, yeah, that's just how the cookie crumbles, I guess. I think what a lot of the people in the People's Convoy have done is great stuff. I just saw a picture of Ted Cruz riding shotgun today in the People's Convoy. Dude's awesome. And what everyone in the People's Convoy did was awesome. But, you know, there are other things. We only have an hour on the show every day to talk about things, you know?
Yeah, and it's largely uncontended. Like, we had one of their human rights attorneys on the show to talk about the People's Convoy, and they're saying, you know, people from the left, right, center, all coming out to just express love for America. So it's a genuinely just very positive thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Next question.
Real quick, I saw someone, I'm sorry, I lost your name, but they were talking about trust in the media, and they said, I trust CNN to lie to me.
There you go.
No, that makes a lot
also,
of sense.
Also, Betty White responded and said, I'd rather donate my money elsewhere. And that is the clear distinction, is that you have the choice of whether or not to donate to Taco. You don't have the choice of whether or not this administration.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to give you the...
Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you.
Just said I bleeped you.
So you have a choice to donate to Taco,
ding, ding, ding.
This organization that we highlighted on the show. You do not have a choice as to whether or not this administration gives your money to buy crack pipes for addicts. There we go.
Which is another great argument for decentralization versus centralization, as we've been talking about.
Exacto mundo.
Here's another one from Emma. How did you guys become such great speakers? You all know what to say to combat leftists, and you say it so well. Any tips on speaking up in school?
Oh, yikes.
You know, I just started watching Amala's dancing TikToks, and I just got the confidence.
So inspiring,
to be
those
able to
old
say
TikToks.
What I would say. You know, it all
you know what? Up. I miss making my old dance TikToks and my old lip sync TikToks, as stupid
no
as they are
you.
When I go back and look at them. I'm just like, you know what? Those were fun to make.
No stopping you.
I know.
I miss Will's skits. If you miss Will's skits on the TikTok, put them in the chat. We miss your skits, Will.
I had some good skits. Yeah. I'm pretty
it's a
funny
good run.
Guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty funny.
Not gonna lie. Somehow
as far as the actual question.
Sure. Okay, what was the question?
How do you get so great at speaking, and what is your advice to somebody trying to speak to their school?
Oh, okay.
Oh, you want me to... Okay.
Please, tell me.
Take it what you asked me.
Tell
them,
Amala.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
You're a good speaker.
I am not the greatest at speaking, you know, but I don't know. I mess up all the time when I speak, and we constantly make errors, and I think... people look at what we do and go, oh my gosh, that's really crazy and impressive. I bet they never mess up. We mess up all the time. We misspeak all the time. I just think
we make reels.
Yeah. Right.
For Instagram.
I was trying to make a reel. I made a reel this morning about the whole JK Rowling situation. And I swear I had to re-record like these little 5-second clips where I'm just explaining what happened like 50 times. So much profanity flying out. Like that. Just like that. So we mess up all the time. It's not something that just comes naturally. As far as getting used to it and starting to public speak, people are impressed by just you being there and doing it. So go on and speak your thoughts. I am a planner. Will is not as much of a planner when it comes to public speaking.
No,
I'm like meticulous about what I'm going to say, how the narrative shapes, where it goes. Will's not.
No. I'm just like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
I'll have a couple bullet points and then I'll be like, hey, here we go. You know, but you do it a lot. I mean, I've given, I don't know how many speeches. I'm speaking, you know, sometimes two or three times a week, going places and speaking so much, you get very comfortable doing it. You know, you could ask Dennis Prager the same thing. It's like something that you do all the time. It's like we do the show all the time. It's like you get so comfortable doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do it so much. So once you just do things and practice, like my first speech that I ever gave was to this group of high schoolers who were all leftists except for the one girl who invited me from Prager Force. I totally screwed it up. I was horrible. I mean, these kids hated me.
Right.
It was very, very bad. Yet, I didn't let that phase me. I kept practicing and doing more and more. And now I've been speaking to thousands of people, you know, and it's my favorite thing to do is speak because it was something that I had to really practice at.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So it takes just practicing, really.
Yep.
Yeah. To be honest, your first speeches might suck. And there's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let your first speeches sucking hurt you from continuing to practice and do it more in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, you learn and you develop a cadence and you develop your own style of speaking. Like I watch Dennis and he's just amazing. So he'll go to some of these events that we do that we put on for donors or people who support PragerU, and he will sit and just look at like the city that he's in. We did our last one, I believe, in San Mateo, which is right just outside of San Francisco. And he will just write notes about things he's done in the past in San Francisco. And he'll talk to people before the event and just get little tidbits about what they're interested in. And he'll write, well, okay, they're interested in critical race theory, or this is important to them. And then he just does a speech that's off the cuff based on his own experiences and tells stories. He's truly a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker. And most people do not notice when you mess up or you say things wrong, or they'll notice and they just brush off. It moves on. You focus on your mistakes far more than anybody else does.
That's definitely true.
Yep. Yep. Nobody else thinks about that. Yeah. You'll be thinking about that for the next 2 weeks. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I called that. I said hi, mom, to that guy, and he was not even my mom or something. You know, yeah. Nobody cares.
Or your joke didn't land. Well, that right. They do care about more.
When the jokes
Practice
don't
your
land.
Jokes beforehand.
Oh, we use like the same jokes over and over on different audiences. And then you're yeah. Once you come back to a spot and you know it's going to be the same audience, you have to think of some new jokes.
I know.
What is that?
Dang it.
What's your like go-to joke during a speech? I know mine. There's so many.
I have to think about it.
I'll say, I moved from Florida to California to do this job. And if that doesn't show you how much I love PragerU, I don't know what does. And the audience loves that joke.
No, they go apes.
Yeah.
They go bananas.
There we go. Brilliant. And I go, when I came out of the closet to my mom, but not in the way that she wanted, they're all, And
that's
those
funny.
Those are virtually very bad jokes.
No,
those are
good.
Not great jokes.
They're good jokes. They're good
I
jokes.
I swear they land when they're in the middle of a random speech, guys.
Of course.
And people laugh, guys, I swear. They laugh.
People laugh, I swear.
Even when
I
you're
swear.
Doing something and it's not that funny, if you're having fun with the audience and talking to them and passionate,
yep.
It'll work.
Yep.
Yeah. I tell a lot of jokes in my speeches, too. Because it's important. Serious, but also a lot of jokes. That's what I learned that from Dennis Prager.
Yeah.
That Thanks, was yeah. one of the best lessons from him.
Likeable.
Yes.
Okay.
Spoonful of sugar. All right. Do you all want kids in the future? If so, how many? This is from Caitlin.
Oh, let me hit on this subject matter. yes, absolutely, 100%. My ideal number is 4. That's the number of kids that I want.
You went down from like 7, I thought.
I always say like football team or basketball team. Basketball team, I guess, is technically 5. But, you know, it's just, you know.
You need backups.
I would have, you know.
You need the bench, too.
You need backups.
You want 10 so they can play against each other.
Right. Two teams. Exactly. Yeah, no, four is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, everybody says, you know, I want a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, life changes or you have kids and it's not what you expect or things like that. But right now, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking 4.
2, 4, 8, or 16.
So you've got a lot of options.
Right. But no weird odd numbers.
Oh, okay. Why is that? Is there a reason behind
it? I love how you skip 6, too.
No, it's got a double.
2, 4, 8, or 16. Yeah, it's got a double.
It's a double.
It's got a double, and it's got to be even.
Right. There you go. Exactly.
Bam.
No reasoning behind that. It just is.
Just straight up.
It's just cool.
Okay, gotcha.
So, have 2 children. Next one comes out, definitely twins.
Gotcha.
So, and the next one comes out, quadruplets. And then octomom after that.
That poor woman. That poor woman.
Oh, poor man.
Oh, gosh. Gross. Okay.
All right, moving on. Emma asks, I want to join Prager Force when I get into high school and want to know more about it. How do I join?
PragerForce.com or PragerU.com/PragerForce. You guys can join if you're high school, college, or a young professional below the age of 35. A digital online community. Like I said, we misspeak all the time. An online community of like-minded conservatives that you can talk to, network with, and meet. So PragerForce.com.
Little Bob said, is Will whining about black actors playing elves?
I saw that.
Not yet.
If you want to get me started, I'll whine all day about it. Trust me. I have no problem.
I like the name Little Bob.
Little Bob.
Little Bob.
Stepdad's name is Bob.
Okay. Good to know.
Just saying.
I was actually just Bob's about to ask name. What your stepdad's your name was.
No, I'm cookie, sure you were. So. Yeah, my grandma's cookie, grandpa's chocolate.
Their dog is?
Chipper.
There you go.
Chocolate chip cookie.
There you go.
Super, oh, wow. The cutest.
Mash
it's
made
the cutest.
In heaven.
I have the cutest family.
That's actually true, too.
It's actually true. I'm not making this up. It's true. I mean, it's not their birth certificate name, obviously. You know?
Obviously.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be like Peppermint or something.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of a cool
that's
name.
That's too flamboyant.
Klondike cool bar.
Name. Yeah.
All right. Asher asks, how to combat a feminist teacher? Got to learn jujitsu, Muay Thai, MMA. Take it away.
How to combat a feminist teacher? Be a masculine student.
How do you know? Is it a boy asking this?
It's Asher.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. What up, Asher? I mean, just debunk them. Be like, hey teacher, in what way in this country do women have it harder? Be like, yo, teach, how many women commit suicide every year? Hey, teach, how many men commit suicide every year? Hey, teach, who's most likely to die of homicide? Who's most likely to be a victim of domestic violence? Who's most likely to be homeless? Who's most likely to be in jail? And right there, I think that will take care of the whole feminist thing, hopefully.
Well.
Or it'll just make her call you a patriarchal bigot and mm-hmm. send you to the principal's office.
Right.
Yeah. But you got to combat them as they're lying to you, you know?
You do. That's, don't be afraid to raise your hand and say something.
Yep.
You should always say something.
Yep. I saw a video of this girl like confronting her teacher the other day, and I was actually very impressed. The teacher just walked, she was helping this girl with her math or something, and the teacher just walked up to her and looked at her, and she's like, yes, can I help you? And the teacher just keeps giving her this glare, and she's like, do you have a problem with me sitting here? And the teacher refuses to talk to her. And this is a grown, like 60-something-year-old woman, just mean mugging her in the face. And she's like, if you're not going to say anything respectfully about what your problem is with me and why you're staring at me like this, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. And this is just maybe some teenage girl talking to this teacher. But yeah, I know teachers have authority, right? And respect your elders and all that stuff. But when they deserve respect. And don't be afraid to speak up respectfully.
And make sure you have your camera rolling during the debate so you can post a video on YouTube later that says, Asher destroys woke feminist teacher.
Yeah. Asher's like 13. 13-year-old annihilates feminist teacher in class.
Stupid libtard teacher gets wrecked.
Yeah.
Cry. Yeah. All right. One more. Mason asks, which would you rather? This is a would you rather. Would you rather teach gender theory or critical race theory?
Gender theory, for sure.
Why?
Because I think gender theory is a bigger deal, and if I was going to be put in a school to teach the right thing,
no, you have to you have to teach the wrong thing. Which wrong thing would you rather
teach? The wrong thing.
I think that's what they're asking, is it not, Taylor? They're asking like, which piece of BS would you more rather, like, what is less harmful?
Yeah, the proper way to answer this question would be, which one do you think is not as big of a deal?
Yeah,
I think CRT is less of a big deal than gender theory. Gender theory sexualizes children. It's disgusting, despicable, and there is nothing worse.
Technically, gender theory is an extension of critical race theory, but I'm going to go with critical race theory and just go off the basis that I would just be teaching the white kids that they're oppressors and the black kids that they're oppressed. All as horrible as it is, not as bad as teaching children to be confused about who they are.
Right.
In giving them mental problems.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would teach gender theory first if I could teach the right stuff.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I don't know if that's the question.
To address it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gender, race, it's all the same thing, right? Isn't it?
They are all critical theories.
Yes.
Which
yes.
date back to like postmodernism and neo-Marxism and all that stuff. And
right.
So
right.
at the end of the day,
I teach critical leftist theory.
Yeah. Straight up.
and just criticize leftism all day.
Yeah,
that's what I do on the show.
That would be great.
But yeah,
build a show called Critical Leftist Theory.
It's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
It's another free one for you guys out there.
Wait, before we patent it, we're going to trademark that right now. We're going to trademark that so you guys can't steal it.
Speaking of critical race theory, by the way, who do we have on the show tomorrow?
Christopher Ruffo. Heck yeah. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk a bunch of different stories, stuff that he's broken on his Twitter. You know, he's been at the forefront of the anti-CRT battle here in the United States, and he's going to be sitting down in, you know, talking trash with us tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. So make sure you guys tune in on our YouTube, Facebook, Will and Amala Live channel. And if you're going to miss it, make sure that you download the podcast on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or even better, if you want to watch us later, go to prageu.com. You can watch all of the episodes that you miss on our website. Listen to them there.
Exactly. Leave a comment down below. What will we have them commenting today? Let's see here. What else can we be blaming Vladimir Putin for? Leave that in the comments down below. Have you stubbed your toe today? Did your car run out of gas? Was your TV remote not working? All of that can be blamed on Vladimir Putin and Russia. So please do so in the comments down below. Let us know. We'll see which one gets the most likes. And we will see you guys tomorrow for a fun Friday. Bye, guys.
See ya.